a new human body? What if you don't like the one you've got and you could trade it in? You could buy a new one, or you're going to design a new one. So you might be a parent, you're thinking, well, what kind of body do I want for my child? What would the human body be capable of doing? And let's start with the simple things. Would it tell you if it was hungry? And would it tell if it was full? Would it tell if it was thirsty? Would it tell if it was tired and needed to go to sleep? Would it be capable of fighting germs, bugs, viruses, and diseases so it didn't get sick? Would it be capable of playing a sport? Would it be smart, intelligent, wise, so it could do whatever career path? So if you wanted to be a doctor, a lawyer, an architect, an accountant, a professor of neuroscience, whatever you wanted to do for a career path, your brain, your body would be able to be smart enough to do it. And whatever sport you wanted to play, you would be able to go and do that sport because you could get fit and strong enough to do it. And would it be exciting to be able to design a human body like that? Well, here's some really exciting information. If the human body, all human bodies, are in peak physical condition, so they're as fit and strong and healthy as they can possibly be, what are they actually capable of doing? And there will be argument, of course, about genetic limitations or how the body was developed because we put two humans together and this is what they came up with. So there's some people that are tall and some are short and some have got big bones and some have got small bones and some are really smart and some not so smart. But ultimately, what if we could have full control over the ability to get this human body to perform at its very best, the one you've got? And what would life be like? What would your life be like if your human body was performing at its very best? So regardless of genetics, regardless of your background, regardless of your past, regardless of what you believe right now about what you're capable of doing, what if you could get your body into peak physical condition, fit, strong, healthy? What would it be capable of doing? So let's again ask the fundamental questions. If we're thirsty, does our body tell us to drink something? And is it capable of that performance? And of course, the answer is yes. If I'm hungry, is it possible that my body will tell me it's time to eat food? And if everything's fit and strong and working effectively with my hormonal system, my endocrine system, my central nervous system, is it possible that my body would say, stop eating, you're full? Have you ever been in that position where you just can't eat anymore because you're just too full? So would a high-performing body tell us when we need to drink and when we need to eat and when we need to stop eating? Have you ever been tired? Is it possible that the human body is really capable of telling itself, you need to rest now? Have you ever had aching muscles or tired muscles, or you've just felt worn out physically and then you have a rest or you go to sleep and you feel much better, you feel refreshed afterwards? So is the human body capable of, regardless of how hard you work it, it'll tell you that it needs rest, and then when it rests, it does rest and recover. Interesting how a human body can do that. Is it possible that the human body is capable of burning up all the food that we put into it? Now, it's a funny question because we live in a world where the human race has become very overweight. However, is the human body in its purest, healthiest, fittest, strongest form capable of dealing with excess food? And the experts will suggest, yes, that when you eat too much, your body says, okay, you've put too much, there's too much energy inside me. I don't need all of this energy. So the human body will, your metabolism will speed up, you'll heat up, your body will go into overdrive to try and get rid of the excess calories that you've put into it. And then, of course, the human body is capable of turning whatever we put into it, except for alcohol, into fat. And we've got an extensive, unlimited storage for fat. So your body says, okay, you've given me too much food. I can't burn it up. I can't heat you up. I can't get rid of it. So we're going to store it. Isn't that an amazing machine? And that storage function, as we know, it can keep getting bigger and bigger. Our fat cells can keep expanding and filling up with fat. When they get too big, they break up into two. We have hyperplasia of the fat cells. and we can keep getting fatter. So the human body doesn't want to die. So it will do whatever you do to it, it will try and fix it, sort it, change it, make it better. Is it possible that if we overload our body over and over and over and over and over with too much food or too much fat or too many calories or too much sugar, that it gets to the point where it can't deal with it anymore and it breaks down? So I'm going to rephrase my question. Is a body, a human body that's in peak physical condition, it's healthy, it's fit and it's strong, is it capable of dealing with whatever we do to it? And if the answer is yes, then why are we in such bad shape? And is it possible that as a human race, it's going to sound very harsh, but is it possible that we've been abusing this amazing human form? The human body that's supposed to be number one in the upright position. Can you imagine, if you have a look at the skeletal system and the muscular system and how the organs are situated, why would it be even thought of that as humans we would sit down? The human body is not designed to sit down. Whoever designed it and whoever you believe in, it functions best in the upright position. The human brain works 7% more effectively just by standing up because the blood flow is more effective. We burn 7% more calories in the upright position because we're supporting our frame. If you have a look at how the body even looks in from a postural point of view, why would it ever sit down? Lying down is straight. Standing up is straight. Sitting down is crooked. It doesn't work well in the seated position. But as humans, what have we done to our posture? What have we done to the way that the human body should stand? It doesn't stand anymore. It sits. So is it possible that that is an abuse? The constant sitting of the human body, could that be abusive to our own body? If we don't think as effectively, we burn less calories, our posture's all screwed up, everything doesn't work better in the seated position, why do we continually sit down? And if we got off our backsides and didn't sit down so much or didn't sit down at all, is it possible that we would function more effectively? Could that be a great question? We even exercise in the seated position. We've created bikes and rowing machines and classes where you sit on the floor and lie on the floor, supposedly to exercise this human body that's meant to be in the upright position. When we go to school, when we go to an office, when we go to technically to work, most people sit down. Cars have chairs in them. We sit in the car. When we go to most social events, there's chairs to sit in. When we go to the movies, we sit down. When you go on I'm looking at a beautiful mountain at the moment, and there's a chairlift to get up the mountain that you sit on. You don't stand on it, you sit on it. When you travel in a bus or a plane, any form of transport, it's all about sitting down. And an interesting example I always use, if I go to a concert, for example, and it's seated, you have to be in the seated position, I never sit down. So I will always share with whoever's looking after the attendant that takes you to your seat, I always share that I won't be sitting. And sometimes they tell me, I have to sit down. You have to sit down. You can't stand up. You'll be blocking the hallway. What if the human race didn't sit down? Who invented the chair? Who invented this thing about sitting? And I'm sharing that with you because I'm looking for ways for my human body, for your human body, for the entire human race's human bodies to be as fit and healthy as possible. And if we keep doing the things that we've been doing, and I ask that question very passionately because after 40 plus years as an exercise professional, the world has literally gotten fatter and sicker and weaker and more depressed and more diseased, and it's become more out of shape and unhealthy than it's ever been in history. And if you have a look at what we've been doing to the human race over that time period, we've become less active, we sit down more often, we do less stuff. All the things in our life are designed to make life easier for us. So we don't have to walk as much. We don't have to move as much. The human body now, if you have a look at how most people live their lives, would actually rot away very fast. And is it possible that that is exactly what's happening? If you don't use it, you lose it. It's not just some weird quote that somebody made up. Bones and muscles Ligaments, tendons, and joints are meant to pull on each other. Muscles pull on bones to move the human body, to keep it strong and to keep it active. So if we're inactive, the body says, well, I don't need these ligaments and joints and tendons to work properly anymore because this body doesn't move around anymore. So it rots away. And then what about the human brain? And this is where it becomes for me, I'm the ultimate optimist, but for me this becomes a little bit scary. If you don't use your brain, it will also rot away. And that's just, people often say, oh, you get Alzheimer's and dementia when you get older. But ultimately, the brain rots away when you stop using it. So we now have people who are forgetting things and they're not thinking clearly and they're depressed and they're anxious and their brain's not functioning very well. Is there an important question to ask? Why is that? There's a little amoeba that runs around in the ocean, and once it's found a spot that it knows it's going to live for the rest of its life, it eats its own brain because it knows that it doesn't need that brain anymore because it's just going to be sitting here. There's another example that these neuroscientists use where koalas used to have much bigger brains, but when they figured out that all they wanted to eat was eucalyptus leaves and they now sit in eucalyptus trees and don't have to move around, their brains have shrunk. Obviously, my study of the human body has included the study of the brain, and these last few years my study has been intense about the brain because I obviously the brain controls everything that we do. So how do we keep our brain healthy and how do we make sure that it doesn't rot away? And that's that personal thing for me, as I always share. My father died of Alzheimer's and I couldn't understand why the human brain had to rot away. Well, it turns out it doesn't have to, and isn't that exciting? The human brain will stay as young as we need it to for as long as we want it to if we keep it active. But if we stop challenging our brain, and that's where, if you have a look now at the last 40 years, where this becomes really interesting, we watch television. We watch other people do things. It's other people's lives that we're involved in, but we're not doing it. We watch sport on television. We don't do it. And I'm being very general because I know there's plenty of people that play sport. But as a human race, if you have a look at our activity levels, and here's a really great statement by a neuroscientist that I listened to just recently. She shared that whenever the television was invented, and I can't remember, it was the 1950s, I think, the suggestion that people made in the world then was, why would people watch television? Who's got time to sit down and watch a screen? The radio will never ever go out of fashion because you can listen to the radio while you're sweeping or while you're doing the dishes or while you're washing the car or while you're doing whatever it is that you do. You can listen to the radio. Who's going to have time to watch television? Well, if you have a look now at the numbers of hours that kids, people, humans sit in front of a screen, including a television or a social media screen now, it's no wonder that our brains are rotting away because we're not challenging our brain. Watching television when they plug it up to a brain activity machine, we're not much past asleep because we're not challenging our brain to do anything. We're just watching other people live their lives. So the way to keep your brain alive, of course, is to make it work hard. The way you keep your body young and fit and alive is to make it work hard. You have to overload it. So the more you learn and the more you challenge your brain and the more challenges that come into your life, the smarter you become, the wiser you become, the mentally tougher you become. But then there's this great connection between the body and the brain. And this is where being an exercise professional is so exciting for me. If you exercise intensely, really hard, you push your body to the limit physically. So you get really puffed and you lift something really heavy or both. Obviously, you're going to get fitter and you're going to get stronger. And there's no argument that that's how the human body gets fit. It's got to get puffed. It's got to, the heart and lungs have to be overloaded. Central nervous system, endocrine system have to be overloaded. To get strong, you have to overload. You have to lift heavier than what you think you can at the moment. And that's, of course, how muscles get stronger and bones get stronger and the endocrine system fires up and the central nervous system fires up and we get fitter and stronger from overload intense activity. But, of course, what happens in the brain, because the brain and body are connected. So if I produce a large amount of epinephrine and adrenaline so that I can sprint and lift heavy, what happens inside my brain? And of course, the harder I exercise, the heavier I lift, the harder I puff. Yes, epinephrine and adrenaline are produced so that I can do that. But after I have completed my exercise session, I've stressed my body physically, I get dopamine rush in my brain, which is a reward drug. I get serotonin rush in my brain, which is a satisfaction drug. I get brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is a fertilizer for my brain. I actually can grow better, stronger connections in my brain, neuroplasticity, and I can grow now even new brain cells, because I forced my brain, or I'll rephrase, I forced my body to overload, which pumps those drugs, neurotransmitters, into my brain, so my brain gets stronger and healthier. On top of that, everybody that has studied the brain is really aware now that to get overload of the brain, it's connected to the body. So there's this great statement, every time I keep going after I think I have to give up, everything I do after I think I can't do anymore. So if I've got a challenge in front of me, physical or mental, and I give up, I get mentally weaker. But every time I keep going when I think I can't do anymore, I get mentally stronger. So that comes from, yes, if I'm doing work or overcoming a challenge or finding a solution to a problem, or I'm doing a puzzle or doing an exam, if I keep pushing and pushing and pushing, my brain gets stronger. If I give up, my brain gets weaker. But physically, that's the same. If I keep going after I think I can't do anymore, so I sprint another 1 meter, or I sprint another 5 seconds, or I push just a little bit harder so I can do one more repetition of an exercise. Yes, I get fitter and stronger from doing that physically, but it also makes me mentally tougher and stronger because I kept going after I thought I was going to give up. And that's when those dopamine and serotonin drugs become very powerful, because now the reward is massive. You thought you were going to stop. You thought you were going to give up, and you didn't. You're a bloody legend. Let's pump some more reward drug into your brain, which keeps your brain young and fit and healthy and strong. So I'm going to ask the question again. If you were going to redesign the human body, or you were going to design a new one, what would it be capable of doing? And is it possible that the human body can do all of those things already? Now, if you're short, of course you can't grow taller, and if you're tall, you can't become shorter. The width of your hips and the width of your shoulders and the length of your femur and your leg, that's the length that it is. But how much control do we have over how fit we are, and can we get fitter? How much control do we have over how strong we are, and can we get stronger, and do we want to? And what about physically and mentally? Do we want to get tougher and stronger physically and mentally? And my question is always this: as a parent, as a teacher, as a coach, as a leader, do you have a choice? How irresponsible would we be as adults, leaders of people who are responsible for our children, if we become, or we allow our body to get weak, to get unfit, to get unhealthy? If we've got control over our health, what right do we have to become unhealthy? If we've got control over how fit we are, would it be irresponsible to be unfit? If we're capable of being strong mentally and physically, why would we allow ourselves to get weak? And you can hear the human race going, yeah, but I'm busy, and I've got a job, and I've got stuff I've got stuff to do. Hang on. This is a really challenging question. But as an adult, as a parent, as a teacher, as a coach, as a leader, is it my responsibility to make sure that when children grow up, they grow up in a world where being healthy, fit, strong, mentally and physically is normal? And how would they know that if the adults in their life are not healthy, fit and strong? And is the human body capable of being fit? Yes. Is the human body capable of being strong? Yes. Is it more likely to be healthy if it's fit and strong? And of course the answer is yes. Now, barring accident or barring a horrible disease, we all can be as much as fit as we want to be, and as healthy as we want to be. And I just rephrase that. We have hospitals and we have doctors and we have medical professionals. My wish is always that those people look after the people who have genetic challenges or problems or challenges physically and mentally that are not in our control. And that I'm sharing this with hesitation because it's tough to hear it, but the medical professionals in the world will share with us that at least 80% of people that go to hospital or go to the doctor or use medical services don't have to. They've allowed that to happen to their body. They've become unfit. They've become weak. They've become mentally weak because their body physically has wasted away, so has their brain. So they end up in a hospital or in a doctor's office because they're sick. But if they had remained fit and they'd remained strong, they would never have been there. Now, there's still 20% of people that need the help of a doctor, they need the help of a medical professional, and they have no control over that. My wish is that medical professionals' time is not wasted by me. I don't want to waste anybody's time because I didn't look after myself. If I'm capable of being fit and strong, do I have the responsibility to do that? The human body is designed to be a survival machine. It's designed to be healthy. It's designed to be fit. It's designed to be strong. And if there's a design flaw, 20% of people have some kind of genetic challenge or something's happened to their body and it's got a flaw, then wouldn't it be nice if the medical professionals could invest their time with those people, not with the people who have decided or chosen to or just couldn't be bothered to be healthy, fit and strong. If you are fit and if you are strong, there's an 80% less chance of you ending up in hospital or ending up in a doctor's office. And the top killer diseases in the world, the ones that take up the most time, coronary heart disease, type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, stroke, 80% of cancers, Alzheimer's, dementia, the diseases that are killing us as a human race, they are preventable and curable if we're fit and strong. Is it possible that because as humans we sit down too much, we've become inactive, we put low performance fuel into our body has wasted away, rotted away, become overweight, become unhealthy, become weak, become sick, and then we take up the time of the medical professionals that should be looking after our kids who have a design flaw? And when I share that, there's so much that medical professionals could do for people that have medical challenges that are uncontrollable. But if 80% of our medical challenges are controllable, why the hell as adults would we allow that to happen? And I'm being harsh and I'm being tough and I'm probably being confrontational for a reason. Is it possible that after 40 years as an exercise professional that I would really like people to be fit and strong because I can see the benefit and I know the benefit and I understand physiologically and anatomically what happens to a fit, strong body? You as an exercise professional, you can help people to be fit and strong. And that's probably the big one. Is it possible that as exercise professionals, we've made exercise, getting fit and strong, complicated, hard, long and boring, and maybe that's why people don't do it? And I take responsibility for that because for a long part of my career path, I didn't know my anatomy and physiology and I didn't know how to exercise people safely and fast. And I'm paying for it and I'm a fit, strong person, but because I did stupid exercises and I did too much of those stupid exercises and I just overloaded my body doing silly, silly things, I now have a body that doesn't function as well as I would like it to. And I don't want that for anybody. I don't want anybody to be as old as me and to have broken joints. I don't want anybody to be as old as me and to have to really consider carefully, can I do that exercise or not? Is it possible that as exercise professionals, if we design a safe, effective, short, fast exercise program that people can actually do, then they would stick to it for the rest of their life and they could get fit and healthy, stay out of hospital, stay away from the doctors and not take up the time of the medical professionals who are really needed by the people who have no control over their health or fitness. Those of us that have full control, is it time for us to take control and become the fittest, strongest, healthiest humans we can be? And when we are the healthiest, fittest, strongest humans we can possibly be, what happens to our body? Does it tell us when we're hungry? Does it tell us when we're full? Does it tell us when we're thirsty? Does it tell us when we're tired? Does it tell us when we need 2, exercise. And of course, the answer is yes. It's an amazing machine designed for us to be performing at our absolute best every single day. So how about we get our body healthy, fit and strong so that it can? How about we decide from this day forward as an adult, I'm going to make sure that all the kids in our world grow up to know that it is possible to be a fit, strong, healthy human, to love life, to have a career that you love, and to have a body that can keep up with you regardless of what you do, because a human body is designed to perform at its best in the upright position. Ha ha!